Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. Democracy Now! Is committed to bringing you the stories and perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. From the peace activists demanding an end to war, to indigenous leaders fighting to stop fossil fuel extraction and save the planet. Our independent reporting is only possible because we're funded by you, not by the weapons manufacturers when we cover war or gun violence, not by the oil, gas, coal, or nuclear companies when we cover the climate crisis. We count on your generous support to keep Democracy Now! Going. Please make your donation of $5, $10, or more at democracynow.org. Every dollar counts. Thank you so much. We're counting on you. Stay safe. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
You think about this race replacement theory that he talked about in this manifesto. There are people who are pushing this hatred on these young people, indoctrinating their minds to go out and commit violence.
President Biden's visiting Buffalo today, 2 days after an 18-year-old white supremacist killed 10 people at a supermarket in the heart of the black community. We'll speak to Rashad Robinson of Color of Change and Talia Levin, author of Culture Warlords, My Journey into the Dark Web of White Supremacy.
So when you have a political movement that consistently portrays demographic change, specifically the change that white people will become a demographic minority in America as apocalyptic, and the mere presence and birth of non-white people as a threat, an existential threat. Those are the preconditions for violence. That's annihilatory rhetoric.
Plus, we look at monopolies and the baby formula shortage. As parents scramble to find formula to feed their babies across the United States, we'll look at how the crisis is linked to the fact that just four companies sell almost all the baby formula in the country. A whistleblower had warned about problems at Abbott's largest baby formula plant last October, but the FDA took months to interview the whistleblower, who was fired by Abbott. We'll speak to David Dayan of the American Prospect. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Biden's visiting Buffalo today as families there mourn the victims of Saturday's massacre, when a white 18-year-old suspect killed 10 people at a supermarket he deliberately targeted in the city's black community. Investigators say the shooter spent months carefully planning his assault and intended to continue his rampage with an attack on a second location. Amidst the mourning, calls for justice are growing. Civil rights lawyer Ben Crump spoke in Buffalo Monday.
What happened on Saturday was an act of domestic terrorism. And we have to define it as such. We can't sugarcoat it. We can't try to explain it away, talking about mental illness. No, this was an act of domestic terrorism perpetrated by a young white supremacist.
We'll have the latest on the Buffalo massacre after headlines. In California, officials in Orange County say Sunday's mass shooting at a church in Laguna Woods was a politically motivated hate crime targeting the Taiwanese community.
It is believed the suspect involved was upset about political tensions between China and Taiwan.
Police named the suspect, 68-year-old David Cho of Las Vegas, a Chinese immigrant and U.S. citizen. He reportedly placed Molotov cocktails around the church and chained exit doors shut before opening fire on a congregation gathered for a luncheon. Dr. John Chang died in the assault. Four others were rushed to the hospital with gunshot wounds. On Monday, Orange County officials hailed Dr. Chang as a hero who rushed the gunman, giving others a chance to subdue their attacker. President Joe Biden has approved a Pentagon plan to redeploy up to 500 U.S. troops to Somalia. The move largely reverses a withdrawal ordered by then-President Trump during his final days in office. The Pentagon says the troops are needed to train Somalia's army to combat al-Shabaab militants. The Pentagon's announcement came just after Hassan Sheikh Mohammed was sworn in as Somalia's president, a post he previously held from 2012 to 2017. In news from Ukraine, more than 260 Ukrainian troops have been evacuated from the besieged Azovstal steel plant in Mariupol, ending a week-long standoff. About 50 injured Ukrainian fighters were taken to a hospital in the Russian-controlled town of Novoastok. The other fighters were taken to another town under Russian control. With the plant evacuated, Russia now controls all of Mariupol, which has been left in ruins after months of fighting. The standoff at the steel plant lasted 4 months. The U.S. Senate has voted to advance a $40 billion military and economic aid package for Ukraine by a vote of 81-11. The Senate agreed to limit debate on the bill, setting up its passage, which is expected on Wednesday. The entire Democratic caucus supported the measure. The 11 no votes came from Republicans, including Senator Rand Paul, who temporarily stalled passage of the $40 billion package last week. Paul accused Senate leaders of trying to ram through the spending bill without any oversight on how the money is being spent. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said Russia can accept Finland and Sweden joining NATO, but not if new military bases are set up in the two countries.
As for the expansion of NATO, including through new members of the alliance, Finland and Sweden, Russia wants to inform you that it has no problems with these states, none. And so, in this sense, there is no immediate threat to Russia from an expansion of NATO to include these countries. But the expansion of military infrastructure into this territory would certainly provoke a response. What that response will be, we will see what threats are created for us.
On Monday, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan hinted he may block Sweden and Finland from joining NATO, but many analysts expect Turkey to back down in exchange for some concessions. Turkey's accused both countries of supporting the PKK, the Kurdistan Workers' Party, which is banned in Turkey. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has tested positive for COVID-19, is isolating at home with moderate symptoms. Ardern's government oversaw one of the world's most successful campaigns to stamp out the coronavirus until a wave of Omicron infections earlier this year forced New Zealand to abandon its zero COVID strategy. More than 80% of New Zealand's population is fully vaccinated, and the nation's per capita death rate from COVID is nearly 16 times lower than the U.S. In China, authorities say Shanghai has achieved zero COVID status after no new cases of community spread were detected for 3 consecutive days. This comes as a lockdown affecting some 25 million Shanghai residents is now in its 7th week. Public health restrictions across China this year have impacted hundreds of millions of people, driving the official unemployment rate to more than 6% in April. That's China's highest jobless rate since February 2020. Here in New York City, public health officials strongly recommended Monday people wear medical-grade masks indoors, but stopped short of ordering a mask mandate. The warning came as New York prepared to raise its COVID alert level to high for the second time this month. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports the Food and Drug Administration's poised to authorize third-dose booster shots of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children age 5 to 11. Across the U.S., coronavirus hospitalizations are continuing to rise, with public health officials warning the nearly 100,000 new cases reported each day represents a significant undercount. The Supreme Court's conservative majority has sided with Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz in a case challenging a federal anti-bribery law. Writing for the majority in Monday's 6-3 opinion, Chief Justice John Roberts ruled that the First Amendment's guarantee of free speech protects the right of a candidate to use unlimited post-election contributions to repay loans made to their campaign. The federal campaign finance law, known as the McCain-Feingold Act, previously capped such loans at $250,000. In her dissent, Justice Elena Kagan wrote, quote, "The theory of the legislation is easy to grasp. Political contributions that will line a candidate's own pockets given after his election to office pose a significant danger of corruption," she said. The Biden administration's easing Trump-era restrictions on travel between the United States and Cuba. The State Department said Monday it'll reinstate the Cuba Family Reunification Parole Program, expanding visa processing and making it easier for families to visit relatives in Cuba. The administration's also lifting a $1,000 cap on remittances family members can send to relatives in Cuba. The new measures fall short of U.S.-Cuban rapprochement seen under former President Obama. In occupied East Jerusalem, dozens of Palestinians were injured Monday as Israeli forces used rubber-coated steel bullets, tear gas and foul-smelling skunk water to attack a funeral procession of a Palestinian man killed by Israeli soldiers. On Saturday, Walid al-Sharif succumbed to wounds he suffered April 22nd when Israeli troops shot him in the head with a rubber-coated bullet as they fired so-called less lethal munitions at worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. An eyewitness said Israeli forces left al-Sharif bleeding for nearly half an hour before he was finally taken to the hospital in a coma. He's among 54 Palestinians killed by Israeli forces since the beginning of the year. Meanwhile, the Catholic Church's top official in Jerusalem has condemned Israeli police for their violent attack on last Friday's funeral for Shireen Abu Akleh. The veteran Al Jazeera journalist was killed last week covering an Israeli raid in the West Bank in an attack Palestinians and Al Jazeera blame on Israeli military snipers. Archbishop Pier Battista Pizzaballa said on Monday, "Israel's attack on Shireen Abu Akleh's funeral was a severe violation of international norms and regulations."
The police stormed into a Christian health institute, disrespecting the church, disrespecting the health institute, disrespecting the memory of the deceased, and forcing the pallbearers almost to drop the coffin. Israeli police invasion and disproportionate use of force, attacking mourners, striking them with batons, using smoke grenades, shooting rubber bullets, frightening the hospital patients, is a severe violation of international norms and regulations.
In Lebanon, Hezbollah and its political allies have lost their majority in parliament after final results from Sunday's election showed no outright winner. The inconclusive outcome leaves Lebanon's parliament split among several camps, even as the nation grapples with soaring inflation, rampant poverty and corruption. It was Lebanon's first election since a devastating economic collapse in 2019 and the massive 2020 explosion at the port of Beirut that killed at least 215 people while destroying entire neighborhoods. Sri Lanka's newly sworn-in prime minister has warned his nation is down to a one-day supply of gasoline as a devastating economic crisis is set to deepen. Ranil Wickremesinghe said Monday Sri Lanka's government will have to print money to pay government wages, even though it'll lead to the devaluation of the currency. He said Sri Lanka will seek to privatize its state-owned airline and called on citizens to accept even deeper austerity measures.
The next couple of months will be the most difficult ones of our lives. We must prepare ourselves to make some sacrifices and face the challenges of this period. I have no desire to hide the truth and to lie to the public. Although these facts are unpleasant and terrifying, this is the true situation.
In recent weeks, Sri Lanka has been rocked by protests demanding the ouster of the president, Mahinda Rajapaksa, among rolling blackouts, soaring inflation and shortages for fuel, medicine and water. Back in the United States, the Biden administration's announced a number of steps to alleviate a critical nationwide shortage of baby formula. The Food and Drug Administration and Abbott Laboratories have reached an agreement to allow Abbott to reopen the nation's largest baby formula plant, which was closed after due to concerns over bacterial contamination following the deaths of two babies. Meanwhile, the FDA has eased import rules on baby formula made overseas, and the American Academy of Pediatrics has said babies as young as 6 months old can now be fed cow's milk for a brief period of time due to the baby formula shortage. Up until now, pediatricians had recommended babies not be fed cow's milk.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will be sunny with a high of 17 degrees Celsius. Thursday there will be rain and a high of 15 degrees Celsius. Friday there will be a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 24 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be mainly sunny with a high of 32 degrees Celsius. Sunday there will be a light rain and a high of 21 degrees Celsius. Monday there will be a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 17 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 18 degrees Celsius.
Ain't easy no more. I can't stand my own company. Seems like I'm needy now all day long. And if indeed there is something wrong, I can only be healed by your kind of love and warmth. I can't stand being in places, you know, I already been. How am I still same predicament? Well, can I push time back bring it to the future cube? Cause it seems living in the moment, I have everything to lose. Wake up, and they're telling me to wake up, and they're telling me to wake up. Trust, out of lies, out of pretty, out of sexy, out of smart, out of songs, out of feeling, out of heart, out of care, out of study, out of line, out of growth, out of reach, out of size, out of truth, out of win, out of game, out of hate, out of noise, out of blame, out of light, out of breath, out of strength, out of fight, out of love with almost everything, everything. Except with you, except with you. And then there's you, you. And then there's you. How many more ways can you break me into? How many more songs about me feeling blue? How many more nights shall I hide from view? How long is this lesson you put me on to? When can I see your face without it feeling new? Oh, I need dead in me, wake up for you. Games, ain't you getting hard? Can't give up on you with your heart of gold. When you came to me, you knew I was full. Nigga, I told you. Still playing silly love games, ain't you getting up?
Oda Adra is set to tell a story through a poetic and scientific investigation of the past, drawings, and a travel journal in A, which it will be presented at MAI, Montreal Arts Interculturel, May 25th to 28th. With us today, we have Oda Adra. Hi, Oda, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to write A by Oda Adra.
So my name is Hoda, and I'm a writer and an artist, and I wrote A at a moment where I lived an experience that really surprised me. After putting out a spoken word album, I had a reaction where I went into hiding, and I decided that my next creation was going to be exploring why using freedom of expression and speech, how did that backfire on me at that time?
Why did you decide to do this as a solo show?
It's a personal story, but the personal story has three characters. One of them is a pink ghost, and one of them is the body. And they split away from me in a way during that event where I went into hiding. So the three characters are played by me, but it's a solo show. It's a deeply personal story.
What is the story that you're telling in A by Oda Adra?
So it's the story of how sometimes when you're in a different environment and you think that maybe you overcame something and that thing comes back in a new environment and you didn't expect it to come back that way, how it can bring back trauma from the past. It's inspired by my upbringing in Saudi Arabia. Although I came here and I have freedom of speech in a way, the events after my spoken word album that made me go into hiding were just kind of like a repetition of things that happened over there. And so my question is, what makes it that a body that someone would want to leave their body, even if the context is no longer the same as when the trauma happened to it?
What is the premise behind telling the story through the use of a travel journal?
Because I treat the journey that the character goes through as a travel journey, which in what happened actually is that I kept diary logs from when I came to Montreal in the last 20 years. And I see them as being travel journals in a way, even though I came here, stayed here, it's kind of like the story of an immigration.
May we hear a few minutes of audio from your production?
Yes, of course.
Il était une fois elles étaient 5,550,235 fois nées sur cette planète. Au même moment. Les avions avaient arrêté de voler. On les entendait dans le ciel, quand même. Le vent avait arrêté de faire bouger les feuilles. Les feux avaient arrêté de brûler. Et ces femmes-là restaient, Elles attendaient. Elles attendaient on ne sait quoi. Elles attendaient l'arrivée de quelque chose. Elles attendaient l'arrivée de quelqu'une, de quelques-unes. Elles attendaient... Elles habitaient dans une autre, disons, presque une autre planète, en fait. Une autre dimension, une autre planète, on ne sait pas, mais elles attendent toujours. Elles attendent toujours, depuis avant les avions et depuis après les avions. Elles attendent la réverbération. Elles attendent la vibration. Elles attendent le son. Elles attendent de pouvoir créer du son. Elles attendent de pouvoir parler. Elles attendent de pouvoir répéter. Elles attendent de pouvoir chanter. Elles attendent de pouvoir faire une vibration. Elles attendent de pouvoir faire une vibration. Elles attendent de pouvoir faire une vibration. Un jour, il y en avait une qui a décidé de partir. Pourquoi elle a décidé de partir? Je n'ai pas commencé l'histoire par le début. Le début de l'histoire, c'est qu'elle est difficile, comme toutes les histoires, à raconter, parce qu'elle est reliée à une autre histoire qui est venue ni avant elle, ni après elle. Elle est venue à côté d'elle avec plein d'autres histoires qui se sont tenues la main. Comme quoi, tu ne peux pas séparer les choses. Donc, en essayant de raconter cette histoire, elle s'est enfermée. Elle s'est enfermée dans l'histoire elle-même. Elle a tourné en rond, en rond, en rond. Je te jure, elle a tourné en rond pendant genre 18 ans ou un truc comme ça. Elle est même allée dans un nouveau pays pour tourner en rond, en fait. Donc, elle a pensé qu'elle fuyait cette histoire pour faire une nouvelle vie, seulement pour se retrouver dans la même histoire, puisque les histoires, elles n'habitent pas dans ta maison. Les histoires, elles habitent dans ton corps. Elles habitent dans ton intérieur. Donc, pour commencer cette histoire, disons qu'on va trouver un commencement, disons que les commencements existent, ce qui n'est pas une théorie prouvée, il n'y a ni début ni fin, il y a toujours des milieux. Donc, à part pour les recettes, qu'il faut très bien suivre, si on veut réussir à faire des choses comme des feuilles de vigne, par exemple. Dans tous les cas, l'histoire que je compte en ce moment, c'est une histoire qui n'a pas de début, et donc... C'est pour ça que je traîne encore et que vous êtes là à vous demander qu'est-ce qu'elle fout ici, cette femme. Cette femme qui est ici devant vous, qu'est-ce qu'elle fout? Elle atterrit ici après un long voyage. Elle a atterri ici et elle essaie d'expliquer quelque chose qu'elle n'arrive pas à expliquer depuis 18 ans juste parce que c'est inconcevable. Et donc en fait, elle s'est carrément enfargée en fait. Elle s'est enfargée dans quoi? Dans du papier. Elle s'est enfargée dans du papier. Sérieux à y croire, elle s'est même pas enfargée dans un mur, elle s'est enfargée dans du papier avec un stylo. Elle, ça c'est une histoire, ça c'est une histoire de fou en tout cas.
Where are you from and how does your culture influence your work?
I'm Lebanese, I was born in Lebanon and I was raised in Saudi Arabia from the ages of 0 to 17 and I have, I guess what would they call a third culture kid, where too many cultures intersecting inside of me, so it influences my work that I don't see the world as a fixed place. Like geopolitics really have a big place in my work, but also how we are interconnected. I think living through all of these extremes only shows me that we're all interconnected.
Do you have anything new in the works for next year?
Yeah, I'm starting to write a new play. It's Arab futurism, and it involves recontextualizing wars that have happened in the Arab world, finding new ways of talking about colonization that happened in the Arab world, but in a bit of a science fiction way with time travel.
If our listeners want more information or to buy tickets to the show, where should they go?
So you can go to the MAIS website, Montréal Art Interculturel. Just go to the billetterie online and you can find tickets there.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you, Sheila.
You have been listening to Hoda Adra speaking about her production A by Hoda Adra. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Fabi presents a Victoria Weekend Barbecue, Saturday, May 21st, noon till 8 p.m. at Mackenzie King Park, corner of Cote St. Catherine and Westbury. On the menu, pork and chicken, barbecue, jerk, and roti. Curry goat, saltfish, breadfruit and saltfish, also sides, homemade juices, and sweet treats. All plates, $15 or less. So come on out and enjoy the outside with Fabi and the crew. Music by DJ Jason. Saturday, May 21st at Mackenzie King Park.
Hello there and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that's aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but it can really be listened to anywhere at all.
And we absolutely mean anywhere. You can listen to this while you're shoveling snow out of your elderly neighbour's garden.
You can listen to this while you're building a snow from the leftover bits that are in the corner of your garden.
Building a snow?
Man.
You can listen to this while you're just happy that there's no more snow in Ireland and that we can finally get into studio to record this episode. Sorry it's late, listeners. I hope we can still be friends.
This episode is in fact just a few hours late because we were snowed in for the last week, as was the population of Ireland and a lot of Europe from the beast from the east.
The beast from the east. Yeah, Ireland is not equipped to deal with snow in any way, shape or form, so the entire country shut down. And to be fair, there was a lot of snow.
There was a lot of snow.
But we've gotten over it now.
We've gotten over it. And for any new listeners to this podcast, Marcus, what's it all about?
This podcast is for people who say they don't have time to listen to podcasts. We take the mysteries of the world, put them on the table, chop them up, and serve them to you in delicious answer form.
Ooh, that's a lovely description. We can use that one again. We answer the questions that you didn't even know you had. Thus far, we've answered questions like,
do periods actually synchronize?
Who make better drivers, men or women?
Why do we eat three-course meals?
And loads, loads more. I suppose you could say,
we expand your mind while you wash your behind.
And this week is no different.
This week's question comes from the sunny seaside resort of Dunleary. For any of our non-Irish listeners, Dunleary is a seaside part of Dublin, which is very, very lovely. This question comes from listener Isolt Brown.
Hi Isolt, thanks for sending in this question.
Isolt, how are you? And she asks, why do most black cats have a white spot?
This is such a weird question and I'm so excited.
This week's question, as I said, comes from the seaside paradise of Dunleary and was asked by frequent listener Isolt Brown. And I've got to say, when it landed in our inbox, I didn't think there was a full episode in it.
Yeah, like we receive a lot of fantastic questions. We've loads in the piggy bank ready to go and we've loads in the upcoming weeks that we can't wait to answer. But amongst some fantastic questions, we also receive some downright weird ones. So when we got a message asking, why do most black cats have a little white spot? We didn't think much of it until we did some research.
Yeah, and this one is absolutely amazing and it goes so much deeper than a little tuft of white hair. And you know what? It's only because we were snowed in that I put a bit of research into it and found out about this. So, Taz, let me ask you, are you a cat person or a dog person?
Hands down, definitely dogs. I have two lovely little scruffers at home, Sam and Pup.
They're such lovely dogs.
Such lovely dogs. And I grew up with dogs and dogs are beings of pure canine love. They love you no matter if you're rich or you're poor or you're smelly or you're clean. They love you. Dogs always love you. Whereas cats are stinky, sneaky little fur ninjas who would kill you if they could.
That's fair, and I know you're kind of joking when you said that, but actually a recent study from the University of Edinburgh actually confirmed that domestic cats have a lot of parallel behaviours with larger feline counterparts like tigers and jaguars, so they probably would kill you if they could.
I knew it. Sneaky little
I know.
Fuckers.
Anyway, I'm glad you said you're a dog person. Because being a cat person in
because
the 60s...
Because if you said a cat person, I would have broken up with you.
Straight up. But no, genuinely, being a cat person in the 1600s, depending where you were, could have landed you in seriously deep shit. Or even worse, deep water, in the old drowning sense of the word.
Huh? What do you mean by that?
Well, even though cats have played a fairly wide role across varying religions, cultures and societies, from being domesticated pets in Rome to being literally considered gods in Egypt to good luck omens for sailors in Old England, they haven't always been seen as, you know, nine live feline friends.
Oh, I think I know where this is going.
Do you?
Witches?
Bingo! Yeah!
Ah! No way!
When you think of a witch with a big, long, dangly nose cruising through the air on a broomstick, outlined against a waxing moon as a cackling figure of evil, what's always sitting on the front of a broom?
That's exactly why I said witches. There's always a black cat at the end of the broomstick, just like Salem the Talking Cat in Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Bingo! Absolutely. Witches always have a black cat sidekick. And do you know why he was called Salem, out of interest?
I just thought it was a very, very good name for a cat.
Now, the writers of Sabrina did a nice job on this one. Even though it was a kid's show, his name was a reference to one of the most horrible cases of mass hysteria ever recorded. And it all centres around witchcraft. A thing known as the Salem Witch Trials.
What? This fluffy little talking cat
represents
something of mass hysteria. Tell me more.
So in Salem Village, which is in Massachusetts, in Boston, in February 1692, two little girls, Betty Paris and her cousin Abigail Williams, the daughter and niece of Reverend Samuel Paris, began to have fits described as beyond the power of epileptic fits or natural disease to affect by a minister of the nearby town of Beverly. So he came to check up on them and administer medical advice and just found that they were freaking out. So apparently,
what age were they? Like, were they young children?
Yeah, they were 9 and 11.
Oh, wow.
So the girls screamed, threw things about the room, you know, were making strange sounds, crawling under furniture, contorting themselves into peculiar positions. And this is, again, according to the eyewitness account of another reverend. But to be honest, that just sounds like they were being kids. Like, you know, it just sounds like maybe they were just little shits.
Contort themselves in peculiar... I don't know. Well, it depends.
You know. But in any case, they were trying to get to the bottom of this behaviour. And when the local physician couldn't find a reason for their sickness, all fingers pointed to, bum, 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 bewitchment.
Say you will, say you won't, say you'll do what I don't. Bewitched, no, no.
Are you serious? I'm talking about the demonic possession of children and you're bringing 90s Irish pop sensation Bewitched into this.
Some people say I look like me dad.
People died, Taz.
Okay, go on, you party pooper.
All right, well, shortly after the initial accusation of witchcraft, the first arrests were made, and over the course of the next year, over 20 people, mostly women, were executed in various ways, from hanging to drowning.
And being burned at the stake?
Actually, no, there's no historical evidence to support witch burnings in Salem, but still, it's all fucked up. And when the hysteria dropped, a lot of people realised that people have just been accusing people they didn't like, or maybe, you know, had a long-standing grudge against, of witchcraft, and they were getting killed, which is very not sound.
And so were the two daughters killed?
Because I don't know what happened with the two daughters, but it turns out that their family, their dad, Reverend Samuel Paris, the first woman who was accused of witchcraft, was like their rival family. So there was no actual grounding in the accusations. He was basically just taking it out on a family he didn't like.
So the kids maybe were just acting like kids.
They yeah, you never know. Well, it's so, really...
What does that have to do with cats?
Right, well, you know, I just wanted to talk about Salem as an example of how mental people got when they were swept into the idea of witchcraft and lead that into talking about black cats.
Because black cats and witches are BFFs.
Well, seen as BFFs, but also for a long time in the Middle Ages, seen as one and the same. For a long time, people thought the witches could shapeshift into the form of a black cat to slink around, casting spells on poor unsuspecting folk who decided not to, like, I don't know, scratch the cat's head or something equally cat-like in nature. And this led to a massive culling of black cats around Europe and the New World.
Oh my God. First off, imagine being able to evolve from a cat to a human, slash any animal. If you could evolve from any animal to a human and switch.
Ooh, would I have any of the human powers?
Sloth, be a sloth.
I already am a sloth. I don't have to morph.
That's amazing. Like, you can actually, they were thought to evolve from one to the other. And so,
yeah, no, they thought that basically the witches could change into a cat. So
therefore,
that they,
kill all the black cats because all black cats are witches.
Yeah, or black cats are bad luck, or black cats are an omen of death. There's loads of different things, but it all comes down to basically pagan satanic evil. Yeah, so if people saw a black cat, they'd kill it as soon as possible because it was seen as bad. But that was only ever applied if the cat was fully black.
I don't think I've ever seen a fully black cat.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Cats that had a hint of white on them, which are commonly found around the neck. And guarantee, if you see a black cat, it'll have a little spot of white on it. If you see a pure black cat, That's amazing. They are definitely a tiny minority. If they had a little mark, they were spared, and that white mark became known as God's thumbprint, allowing those cats to live, and in some cases even be seen as a force of good. This means that genetically, generations of pure black cats were killed, and cats with a mark were allowed to live and reproduce, carrying that mark down to their offspring, making it one of the only examples of documented unnatural selection present in our history.
That is incredible. So if black cats were all black, they were seen as being a witch or being evil. They mm-hmm. were all culled, and therefore they couldn't reproduce to have other all black cats.
Yeah.
And the only cats that lived were the ones with little white spots.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. Do you know what is even more amazing and completely ironic?
Always.
The outbreak of the bubonic plague in the Middle Ages is largely attributed to mass killings of cats for fear of the devil and witchcraft, allowing mouse and rat populations to skyrocket and spread the disease, which wiped out a whopping third of the world's population.
Oh my God. That's proper witchcraft revenge if I've ever seen it.
I know, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Are you ready for some witch facts?
We're at the end of the episode already. I can't believe it. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so witches really did fly on broomsticks, in a way.
Okay.
The origins of the broom as a witch's preferred mode of transportation is fairly weird and a little bit saucy. people who practice witchcraft experimented with herbs and potions in rituals that may have been linked to paganism or Satanism or just general Wicca, witchcraft, whatever. But one of those was the mandrake plant. And mandrake contains scopolamine and atropine, two alkaloids that cause feelings of euphoria in low doses and even hallucinations in higher doses.
Mm-hmm.
So these rituals, performed in the nude, called for the participants to rub a herbal ointment containing the mandrake on their foreheads, wrists, hands and feet, as well as on a large staff that they would ride. And the friction of the ointment-coated staff on the witch's lady gardens would absorb the ointments into the system and cause a floating sensation. And their description of that feeling of flying is what perpetuated the symbol of the witch flying on the broomstick.
Oh my God, that's amazing and kind of gross all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on from witches, any cat facts?
Well, you read my mind, witch. So, I know you're a dog person, but cats are the most popular pet in the United States. There are 88 million pet cats and only 74 million pet dogs.
No.
Mm-hmm. There are cats who have survived falls from over 32 stories or 320 metres onto concrete.
That is insane.
Cats sleep 70% of their lives.
That just sounds amazing.
Finally, do you know what a group of cats is called?
A nightmare.
Nope. A group of cats is called a clowder.
A clowder? I think that's been my favourite episode so far.
It's a bit of a mad one.
Such a mad one. I want to read more into witches now.
I know, they were the OG flex mental people.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. We're sorry that it's a few hours late, but as we said, we were snowed in. Thank you so much, Isol Brown, for asking that fantastic question.
You've genuinely expanded our mind. Well, we didn't wash anything because there was no water in the apartment.
If you are like Isolt and you have a question that you would like debunked in a bite-sized little chunk, no matter how big or small the question is, then get in touch. You can get us on Facebook.
Just look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus on Facebook, or if you're on Twitter, it's at In the Shower Pod.
If you want to do it the old-fashioned way and send us an email, you can send it to intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com. If you just like the podcast, even if you just want to say hello, please, please do get in touch. It really warms our hearts when we hear from a listener because you're all invisible to us. You can hear us, but we can't hear from you. So get in touch.
We're friendly. So yeah, that'd be cool. Give us a shout.
And if you could do us one more favour, if you were listening to this episode and you enjoyed it, could you recommend it to just one friend or family member or foe or stranger sitting beside you on the bus? If you could just recommend it to one person, then it would help this podcast grow and we could continue answering these mythical questions.
If you can recommend it to like 10 million people, that'd be sweet as well. But you know, look, let's start with one.
A few thank yous to end the episode.
A big thank you to everyone in Headstuff, Alan, Paddy, Rebecca, and everyone at the Headstuff Podcast Network. Thank you for allowing us to do what we do and debunk the mysteries of the world in your lovely studio and network.
Next up, thank you so much, Flo Robinson, for our lovely cover art.
Check out Flo on Instagram. She is absolutely brilliant. And one more big thank you. Who is it, Taz?
Finally, thank you so much to Dave Gertzman for our amazing theme music that goes something like this.
1, 2, 3, 4, bum da da bum ba bum ba da da bum ba da bum ba ba bum ba bum ba da da bum ba da bum ba da bum ba bum ba da da bum ba bum.
Next week's question, Marcus.
Oh, next week's question is a really, really strong one. It comes all the way from Chicago.
Chicago?
Chicago.
What is it?
Why do our fingers get wrinkly when submerged in water?
Oh, that's a great one. And it's going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
I'm Where Is Luna, and you are listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Conversations without words, feelings that are never heard. We don't need to waste our time. You and me never fight, baby. We're broken inside. This time I'll spend the night to rewind the things on my mind. And I know what I know, yeah, I know I'm wrong every time. But sex with you is easier tonight. I'm chasing red lights.
Control. They own the world. They rip the black star off my back and I got things to show. And that's how they all bit.
One more time for this bad man vibe. Home is where the heart is. Give it to me one more time for this bad man vibe.
Well, that wraps it up for the New Spins Library on CKUT. Don't touch that dial. Keep it locked to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. The Sleepy King and Terminal 5 are next.
Time to bring back smiles. All of them. Shy smiles, carefree smiles, ear-to-ear pearly white flashers, polite smiles, nervous smiles, knowing smiles, and kind smiles. Wearing a mask is no longer mandatory in Quebec, except on public transit, in healthcare facilities, and in the days following your isolation period if you had COVID-19. Feel free to keep wearing one if you feel the need, and do it with a smile. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Black Rose Books invites you to our book launch event.
Confronting Canada's Past and Europe's Forgotten Revolutions.
Happening on Sunday, May 22nd, featuring the authors and editors of
Stand on Guard for Whom?
The Fire That Time.
Insatiable Hunger.
The Forgotten Revolution.
And Black Ukraine Yesterday and Today.
Join us on live stream or in person at 2 p.m.
at the Cité des Hospitalières, 251 Pine West, Corner Park.
Free tickets are available at blackroselaunch.eventbrite.ca or visit blackrosebooks.com for more information.
This event is co-presented with the Cité des Hospitaliers en Transition and CKUT-FM.
T90.3 in Montreal. This is Terminal 5.